certain efforts, smart biotech scientists, produce exponentially better results than others. That's why an essentialist thinks almost everything is non-essential. He discerns more so he can do less. Discern the vital few from the trivial many. So how can we discern what is truly essential? Hey, smart biotech scientists, have you ever found yourself stretched too thin and simultaneously felt overworked and underutilized? Or have you felt busy but not productive and felt like your other people's agendas are constantly hindering you to complete your tasks? Well, you are not alone. And that's why we have begun a journey about the life of an essentialist. And if you haven't listened to part one yet, please go back. And today we're continuing our journey and we are talking about the way of an essentialist and how you become an essentialist so that you can focus on what truly matters. Stay tuned. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenge as you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics and market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. How do you become an essentialist? Well, it starts by exploring and evaluating. You want to be asking, will this activity or effort make the highest possible contribution toward my goal? As an entrepreneur, running my biotech advisory firm, I schedule in times every week to reflect. So I look back to identify my wins and what's not working. That's exploring and evaluating. Number two, you want to eliminate the non-essentials. For instance, I define three major objectives every week that I break down into three big things to achieve every day. And if I've achieved them, the day has been a great success. And I say no to all the other seemingly urgent, but not so important tasks. Guess what? I get so much more done than when I was trying to squeeze everything into my already packed calendar. Number three, how do you become an essentialist? Execute. So you need a system to make executing your intentions as effortless as possible. What I do as an entrepreneur, I use Notion to manage all my tasks and priorities. So I set up a system so that I only see each day what matters and I can be easily tracking my progress. So that's what we often are doing. We try to do everything, right? What's popular and right now, only to become more and more frustrated. But here is a better way, smart biotech scientists. What should we do? The right thing. Why should we be doing it? For the right reason. And when should we do it? At the right time. So what will be the benefit of this essentialism approach? You will make your highest contribution towards the things that really matter. In other words, you will succeed your process development project. You will make your tech transfer more seamless. you will be able to enjoy your work as a scientist or as a project manager. Stephen Hawking once said, "You can understand the cosmos, the universe, and complicated systems like the brain because they all boil down and are governed by a few simple principles. And when you understand those simple principles, you know how to make sense of and govern and master these complicated systems." And Dr. Oz, the cardiothoracic surgeon and Columbia University professor and author, is a busy man. And there were times when he was running a nonprofit organization, writing best-selling books, and still doing 200 open heart surgeries. So how can you do that? How is that even possible? People wondered how he could get all this done and stay relaxed and at ease. So he explained, anything that you do, there are only a few things, a few vital functions. Even open heart surgery. There are hundreds of procedures that are done before I come in, and then I do two or three things. And those two or three things matter the most of whether the patient lives or dies. And I focus on only becoming masterful at those two or three things when I do them. Then I leave the rest to the capable team. And that's such good advice for us. We don't need to try to do everything ourselves. Tap into the knowledge and the skills and the experience of your team. You know, the same thing he said was running a television network, running a nonprofit organization, Dr. Oz. He said, all the rest, that's finding your few vital functions then when it comes to focus or sticking to them. And Steve Jobs was once asked, what revolutionary product that Apple's ever created are you most proud of? He said, I'm as proud of what we don't do as I am of what we do. And then he went on to explain, people think focus means saying yes to the thing you have to focus on. But that's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the other 100 good ideas. So here's the thing. Saying no to the 1,000 things is your key to success. Likewise, Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, boils down his tremendous success in investing and building wealth to this. He said, for every 100 great opportunities that are brought to me, I say no 99 times. So he focuses on a few businesses he understands. Certain efforts, smart biotech scientists, produce exponentially better results than others. That's why an essentialist thinks almost everything is non-essential. He discerns more so he can do less. Discern the vital few from the trivial many. So how can we discern what is truly essential? Well, we need space to think. We need time to look and listen. We need also permission to play. Very important, we need wisdom to sleep. We need to rest. And finally, number 5, we need discipline to apply highly selective criteria to the choices we make. So if the answer isn't a definite yes, then what should we do? Then it should be a no. And as promised, let me give you a bonus. Let me give you 8 responses you can use for your no repertoire. Because saying no is hard. So number 1, it's the awkward pause. Wait 3 seconds before delivering your verdict. If you're a bit bolder, wait for the other person to fill the void. Number 2, it's the soft no or the no but. Number 3, when somebody is asking you to do something, you can say, let me check my calendar and get back to you. You can also use email bounce backs. For instance, Adam Grant, the best-selling author and Wharton Business School professor, becomes completely monastic once or twice a month for 2 to 4 days. What he does, he shuts his door, puts an out-of-office autoresponder on his email, and works on his research without interruption. Number five, you can say, yes, but what should I deprioritize? Number six, say it with humor. Say no and smile. Or number seven, use the words, you are welcome to do X, I am willing to do Y. For example, you are welcome to borrow my car, I am willing to make sure the keys are here for you. By this, you're saying that you won't be able to drive them. And finally, bonus tip number eight, I can't do it, but X might be interested. You know, smart biotech scientists, we need to learn the slow yes and the quick no. So I hope that you don't wait till you get to 100 years before you truly understand that in any endeavor, in any activity, in anything, you're pursuing success. And there are only a few things that matter. So no is the greatest productivity enhancer in history. And how do we do that? It's a simple three-step process. Number one, discern the vital few. Ask yourself, will this task contribute significantly to my goal? Number two, celebrate the small wins. So focus on minimal viable progress and build momentum. And finally, number three, protect your time. Use buffers, subtract obstacles, and make execution almost effortless. Dear biotech scientists, remember to consciously select the experiments and workflows that will significantly contribute to your goals and make bioprocess CMC development more efficient and more successful. So don't leave the field of the few things that matter to chase the novel, the new, and the exciting, because you'll end up leaving success on the table. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please let me know what you think about living a life of an essentialist. And I would love to hear from you what your productivity hacks are. So thank you so much, and I see you on the next one. All right, smart scientists. That's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, let's continue to smarten up biotech.